Greetings, everyone. Are you ready for an accelerated course in higher consciousness? This is how our global village will get ahead of the accelerated rate of change we are now seeing in the world. It won't be with the same consciousness that created the problems we see. It will be with a new consciousness that is now evolving with the angels of our better nature. Welcome to Cosmic Love. Have you ever considered what will happen when the language of cosmic love becomes common sense with a common language? Are you aware that this love language is, in fact, the learning process, the creative process, and the processes of consciousness at the quintessential foundation of self-governance? Think about that. Such a language of consciousness has the potential to involve and evolve our individual and collective consciousness. This is what cosmic love is all about, higher conscience. Give yourself a checkup from the neck up. What do you think will happen to your world and the world at large as we become more conscious of how we are conscious, both individually and collectively? I'll give you a big hint. Take a good look at the worldwide web of consciousness that the internet has created. Consider this new net reality for what it truly is, a global revolution in higher consciousness. The instant, everywhere, interactive internet has eliminated space and time. We're all connected in a global village now. All knowledge is at your fingertips. Knowledge power as never before known to humanity. But where's the cosmic love, you may ask? There's a new net reality shaping the consciousness of humanity. Freedom to know better and the opportunity to do better has far outpaced the ability of our core institutions to keep up with the revolutionary capabilities for all humanity. That's what the internet represents, the evolving consciousness of humanity, the collective consciousness of humanity, and the collective future of humanity. That's where cosmic love comes in. Any good metaphysician with his finger on the pulse of humanity could tell you that. If you step out of the box of contemporary groupthink and if you become an objective observer of the evolutionary ascent of net reality caused by the internet, you will not only see a huge wave of change coming, but also the nature of that change and the role that cosmic love will play in change events. There is a natural evolutionary path to these changes. Cosmic love is a blueprint for that change. It always has been. But humanity is just beginning to grasp the multidimensional consciousness required to navigate the vast, uncharted realm of inner space, the internet, at the heart of the internet. This is the new global village consciousness that is defining the collective conscience of humanity. Let's get real. Net reality is what we make it. Where do you think it's going? How do you think we'll get through the birth pangs of a new world being born? Are you ready for the next big thing in the computer internet revolution? Would you agree that the best way to predict the future is to create it? Cosmic love is the answer to these questions. All I ask is that you listen and learn. See how you can catch the biggest wave of opportunity in history. I'll explain how you can ride that wave for phenomenal win-win benefits for yourself and all humanity. Those hearing this are obviously computer literate, so connect the dots. Get a grip on the net reality of global connection with the benefits of cosmic love. Someone has to do it. May it begin with us, united sovereigns in a united state of cosmic love. Always victory when we love enough, keep the faith, get the vision, embrace the virtue, make the vow, and claim the victory of cosmic love in your world and the world at large.
This is Christopher Rudy for Cosmic Love, and today I'm interviewing William Henry. Now, for those who know of William Henry, I don't have to say a lot, but for those who don't, William has been pioneering the new frontier of inner space for a long time. William,
sorry about that.
Yes. Well, it's okay. I'm giving you a little interview here.
Okay, thank you.
I was just telling everyone how you've been a pioneer of the new frontier inventor space for a long time.
Yeah, and that's a good way to put it.
I hope some of you have had a chance to read the page on Cosmic Love where I go into a lot of William's background. I want to give a little overview on that now for those who can't open a window simultaneously with the speed of your internet connection. And I specifically wanted to talk about William's background, extensive writings. What is it, 14 books now and how many DVDs?
Yeah, 14 books, probably a dozen DVDs or so. Mm-hmm.
And you've been doing this for, what, 15 years now?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as an independent writer, a self-published author. And Williams has extensive writings on core concepts regarding social myths, divine feminine collective archetypes, and stargates. And I hope we get into that some today. It's one of my favorite subjects. I'm a Stargate fan in more ways than one, and I go into that a little bit on the webpage. I don't know if you had a chance to look at the links I have with Google videos that is up on the Cosmic Love webpage that you can go to. Some short videos that William has online about Stargates, and they're pretty amazing, and there's some excerpt concepts from those clips, and it's a subject that is, I think, one of the profound openings to an understanding of cosmos at this time like never before. I'm just amazed with it. And I'd love to get into that a lot more. I know a lot of people perhaps haven't heard of you, William, and I would like to give a little bit more background on how you've been an investigative mythologist, an author, radio talk show host, a seeker and a teacher. And I've got his website links up, or you can just Google William Henry, his website links, and he's got an introductory video on his website. Some of your books are really, to me, fascinating. Your one book, The Healing Sun Code, The Secret Science and Religion of the Galactic Core, and Rebirth of Earth in 2012. Now, that subject fascinates me. I hope we get a chance to touch on that some today. And I'm also a big fan of Joseph Campbell. And I know that some people refer to you as the Joseph Campbell of the millennia, William. And that to me says a lot, but from what I read of you, I'd say that's spot on. And I hope I'm not overwhelming you here, but I would love to go into more of what you're doing on more recently with Stargates, a recent book. You had Starwalkers and the Dimension of the Blessed. Was that 2006?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And your and then some of your recent stuff, Stargate 2012. That's a video link on the Cosmic Love website, and Stargates and Ascension. So I'm also a big fan of Rupert Sheldrake and his concepts with the theory of morphic field resonance, the
mm-hmm.
Huntley effect,
mm-hmm.
and what's going on with the quantum shift. And I understand you're going to be a speaker at the upcoming, what is it, the Quantum Leap Seminar Conference? Or
that's correct, yeah, March 13th through the 15th in Burbank. Sri Ramka and Sir Rao have invited me to participate in this one-of-a-kind event. I mean, lots of 2012 events, but this one is kind of special because it really, it aims high. I mean, it puts, its purpose is to just plug people into the highest possible inspiration, aspirations, and just ideas of 2012 possible, so that they can go back into their community and take that with them. And so I'm really looking forward to participating.
No, I'm really interested in that, too. I'm trying to get things arranged where I can go myself, actually. So I wanted
They're life-changing to, events. They really are life-changing events.
And there's going to be a whole series of those, isn't there?
That's what I hear. That's right. This is just the first.
One of them in Canada and some across the United States in
mm-hmm.
the summer, so I mean, it's the time right now. What's your take on the galactic shift through 2012? I know you've written on it, and I'm really fascinated with that subject. and how does that tie into the Stargate phenomenon?
Well, it's a really good question. And by the way, thank you for that opening. I really appreciate how much we have in common and the passions that we share. It's just such an exciting time to be able to be researching these kinds of subjects, because we can take the ancient ideas, the concepts, the core concepts of ancient myths and legends, and look at them through the lens of modern science. And that just offers us, I don't know, it's just kind of like, we're sort of like Galileo. He was the first guy, of course, that took the lens and pointed it towards the stars and said, wait a minute, we can really see something here. And
yeah.
I think if we take the time to start looking at our world through the lens of these ancient stories, it really brings a clarity that is unparalleled otherwise.
And I love the way it interfaces with quantum reality, quantum physics, and all the science coming out with
we're lining up on the original beam again, is the sort of feeling. But you know, we've been out here swimming for a while, but now, you know, we're getting towards the rescue ship, if you will. So when we're looking at 2012, I try to keep it pretty simple, and I do that through a look at the symbols that the Mayans are saying to pay attention to during this 2012 transition. And essentially, when you look at what the Maya are saying about 2012, they're saying we're going to have this rare celestial alignment, a phenomena that happens every 26,000 years or so, in which we align with the center of our Milky Way galaxy. They imagined that or symbolized that by a cosmic tree. So right away we're talking about this celestial alignment as this cosmic tree, or in fact they refer to it also as a cosmic cross. And so let's just put a tree right in front of us and build from there. And when you look in the Mayan symbolism about 2012, they say, okay, you've got the cosmic tree. And now, from out of this celestial alignment with the center of the galaxy, we envision what we portray or imagine as a cosmic serpent. In fact, they call it a serpent rope that emerges from the center of that galaxy. And so now you've got a tree.
You know, like a spiral helix, like the DNA molecule.
There you go. Or any of the other serpents that are suspended on trees. Moses lifted a serpent of healing for the Israelites, and there are other examples of serpents of healing.
The original caduceus, which is the healing symbol in medicine, the caduceus with the serpent around it.
There you go. So that's exactly that's the Maya symbolism for 2012 right there, the tree and the serpent. They also talk about a sap that comes out of this tree. Trees have lifeblood. We call it sap. And the Maya say, well, during this time, we can expect this celestial alignment to produce a sap that we also refer to as Itzam, the sap of the Milky Way, the blessed substance, they also call it. So we've got a tree, we've got a serpent of healing or serpent of wisdom, now we've got a blessed substance. All we need is some fruit and a woman named Eve, and we've got a pretty good story going, okay, one that could
we'll
potentially
be
told for
already.
Right, exactly.
Oh, the 2012 timeline, yeah.
That's it. So that's, you know, that's why 2012 is thought of as a moment of cosmogenesis, of new beginning. It is a new beginning. These symbols are lining up.
With this galactic center, this aligning process, I've read a lot of different aspects of it with the converging cycles. One of them, of course, is that alignment in through black holes, stargates, is the way physicists sometimes refer to these black holes, energy vortices and centers, that there's an aligning with these energies. And I'm also hearing about that there's an alignment of course, other cycles within our own galactic cycles. There's the 24,500-year cycle with precession of the equinoxes, and we're in that sector referred to as Aquarius, you know, about a 2,000-year cycle.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a galactic cycle that the ancients, the Mayans, referred to, as I understand, which is, what is it, 252,000-year cycle that's part of this alignment process?
That, and then there's the the time it takes our sun and solar system to actually orbit the Milky Way, which is 240 million years.
That's the one I was referring to.
So we've got these just, enormous time cycles that, and we just
are converging
in this. That's right. And we're in this kind of gateway. I mean, some people want to describe this time that we're in, the 2012 area, as a window, but I think of it more as a gateway.
Because
a gateway is something you come and go through. A window is something you let the sun shine through. You don't go in and out of a window, but you do a door or a gate. And so
this is where the Stargate metaphor comes in.
Yeah, and actually it was my friend and colleague, John Major Jenkins, who's one of the leading Mayan scholars, who rooted out this Maya 2012 cosmology. He actually said that when looking at the serpent rope, that we can substitute the archaic Maya serpent rope term for the modern term wormhole, and in fact those two words are, the terms are interchangeable.
Yeah, that's interesting. So the wormhole, sometimes referred to as black holes, wormhole, it is basically, and it, of course, graphically, you know, in the whole series of movies on Stargate, you know, everything is wormhole oriented, you know.
Right.
But that, which is kind of a graphic depiction of the concept, but there's energy that goes through the wormhole. That's the point.
Right. And then also, the key thing here too is that when you're dealing with stargates, like for example, something I noted is that when you look at the way the Maya portrayed the center of the Milky Way galaxy, they portrayed it as an 8-rayed wheel. Okay? And so I pay close attention anytime I see that 8-rayed wheel. It's a symbol of Buddhism. But also the particle accelerator at CERN, the Large Hadron Collider, is also an 8-rayed wheel. And what's fascinating about that is that scientists are hoping to get the world's largest machine, the Large Hadron Collider, operational in 2009 or early 2010 in a search for what they refer to as the God particle, this elusive subatomic particle that will basically complete our physics kit and mean a whole lot in terms of our spiritual as well as scientific evolution. But what's interesting about this, Chris, is that when you look at the Maya again, they're talking about this cosmic tree, this alignment that has a serpent or serpent rope helixed around it or coiled around it. And this tree, or perhaps the serpent rope, produces what they called a sap, the blessed substance. Well, what I did is I just started searching Google, and I put in cosmic sap. And the very first line that returned dealt with the Maya belief in 2012 and the Milky Way producing this blessed substance.
Really?
Well, then a few lines down, it referred to sap as high energy physics phenomena. And I realized that sap is also an acronym for subatomic particle.
Interesting. Well, then we're back into the quantum soup again.
That's right. Here we are. Now here we are, 2012, suddenly discovering this cosmic sap, this elusive subatomic particle called the God particle, and it aligns perfectly.
You know, the metaphor there it just blows me away, because when you think about it, the God particle is like, and this is the quintessential core of the conscious movement, the quantum reality. They know that energy follows thought. This is how the quantum and that in the collective consciousness with morphogenic resonance, you know, the morphic resonance principle, when there's a momentum in the collective conscience of believing or feeling in a certain way, it has its own self-fulfilling prophecy.
There you go.
And this thing of the God particle, of course, is within our consciousness. And the sense of separation from it is the cause of all suffering, but the alignment with it is the healing of
it is. Can you believe this is happening? I mean, that's why I like to keep it simple, because the symbols tell the story. And you know, and on that point, let me just interject here. I went to both CERN, the particle accelerator at CERN, and also their competitor in Batavia, Illinois, the Fermilab, And I talked with the scientists at both places, and at Fermilab, they said explicitly, I said, well, what's it going to take to find the God particle? And the scientist that was touring me around, he just kind of winked and he said, well, I think the God particle is going to be found, yeah, only if it wants to be found.
Only if we want to find it.
Only if we want to find it. There's the consciousness thing, that exactly what you're talking about. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Well, the first law of the universe, in a free will universe, is that we get what we ask for, whether we know it or like it or not.
Yeah.
You know, the only thing you have to worry about is what you ask for.
Right. So here we are saying we're ready for this, and it's like, okay, here it comes. And you know what's funny is I looked into this God particle business further, and it's a very interesting story, but Leon Letterman wrote a book called The God Particle.
Yeah.
And he was kind of upset about it because, in fact, it was his publisher that came up with that title. They'll often come up with a sexy title for a subject that is otherwise not going to be appealing to the masses. And so in the first chapter of that book, Letterman talks about the quest for the God particle and likens it to the building of the Tower of Babel, a biblical story. Yeah, in which humankind gathered together to build this ladder, tower, or stairway to heaven. And in fact, the original interpretation of that, or definition of the word Babel, meant gate to God. And so literally, what he's saying is that the search for the God particle is a recreation of the Tower of Babel, and what we are, in fact, trying to do is open that gate to God. And of course, the scientists that were, I saw an interview with Steve Croft at 60 Minutes with one of the physicists at CERN, and he said flat out that what they're really trying to accomplish there at CERN is, in fact, time travel. It's all about being able to dematerialize the human body and teleportation and teleport it.
Well, I know a guy, worked with him for about 6 months in a laboratory, and he's now deceased. And this guy had two series of Tesla coils, and he had a room, and he had male and female, you know, the six on one side and six on the other, with 1.3 million volts of electricity going through it at three octaves of B flat below C. And it's quite a story about this, but he had a space at the end of it because it created an incredible field. And he lost a day and a half when he went into it. And he said people came through the wall and talked with him and took him places. I know this stuff goes on with technology.
Well, that's just it. I mean, so when we get back to the Mayans and they're saying, okay, you got the serpent rope or wormhole that's going to open. And out of this wormhole, they say, then steps an enlightened being, or perhaps a group of enlightened beings. They call that figure nine winds. And they're not sure if that's an actual person, such as the Quetzalcoatl figure, if it's a consciousness, or in fact it's a group of beings. And so when you figure that with how close we are, according to the scientists at CERN and others that are saying we're this close to opening up the secrets of teleportation and time travel, it really makes you wonder, as some have proclaimed, that the particle accelerator at CERN in particular is nothing but a giant stargate. It's a time travel machine, and that perhaps beings from our future are getting ready to come back into our world.
Yeah. Well, I have to wonder if they haven't been doing that for some time in different places. Well,
there's a lot of talk about that.
Yeah, and I'm fascinated with the idea that the scientists are working in a secular way towards the God force, you know. And as I think the Tower of Babel is a good metaphor. I think there's a lot of people that have been venturing into inner space through their own stargates, if you know what I mean. And you know, the out of body stuff that's been going on. And there's, to me, it's fascinating to see the dance between the secular and the sacred. And I love the metaphors that you have in your work, you know, and that are in all cultures regarding, you know, the symbolism that deals with this understanding of gateways to the stars. And I wonder how many of those metaphors were dealing with those who were just getting frames of reference, you know, to slip the surly bounds of time and space within, so to speak. Or, you know, symbols that represented that. And At the same time, you know, I'm familiar with the technology that came in an amazing way, you know, thousands of years ago in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
And you wrote some really interesting article. I believe, wasn't it on the Stargates in the Middle East?
Back absolutely.
Years
yep.
ago, about 5 years, I remember reading those articles in Nexus magazine or one of those.
Sure,
magazines.
Yeah. I wrote a lot back then, especially about Saddam Hussein's interest in the ancient stargates and
yeah.
the possibility that he had collected a lot of that data. And that was one of the motivating factors for us going into Iraq. In fact,
it really made mm-hmm. sense to me because it was all kinds of antiquity stuff that just disappeared.
Right. Yeah, the key
yeah.
to it was, I actually broke that story, and the key to that was just following Saddam's trail. I mean, I started watching him in the early 90s during the first Gulf War when
uh-huh.
it became known that he believed that he was the reincarnated Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar, who was also
right,
an
yeah.
ancient seeker and purveyor of the ancient mysteries, and that he had rebuilt Babylon, spent $500 million rebuilding Babylon, and knowing that biblical prophecy says that Babylon's going to be rebuilt and then it's going to be destroyed. And then after Gulf War I, Saddam started showing up, and this is where I was really tracking him primarily. His whole story started showing up in the art newspapers, the international art trading newspapers, because they were all talking about these UN weapons inspectors that were going into Iraq and then coming out with their pockets loaded with Iraqi antiquities and selling
yeah.
the stuff on the black market. And so the art newspapers were saying, you know, don't buy this stuff, avoid this stuff. And at the same time, they're also reporting how Saddam was trying to recover from all of the museums around the world as many of the ancient Iraqi antiquities as possible.
And there was these secret digs that were going on. And
that's right.
In different places where there was records or a trail leading to
absolutely
the Stargate, so to speak.
I was on the edge of my seat because just before the invasion of Iraq under the Bush administration, second Bush administration, German archaeologists claimed that they had found the tomb of Gilgamesh, which is profound because he was in the oldest human story, he's the main figure, and it was a quest for immortality and Gilgamesh's search for and discovery of the secrets of the gods. And so if you're talking about finding his tomb,
yeah.
you're talking about finding, like, the root home, literally.
Well, there's no question that there was a burst of technology in the Middle East, in the
mm-hmm.
you know, that area, specifically. I mean, very advanced technologies and languaging, and you know, just as if there was some intelligence that came through some Stargate and basically cultured the culture.
I agree,
and
that's where I kind of took I cut my teeth on Zechariah Sitchin's incredible books,
yeah.
which talked about the ancient gods coming to Iraq, ancient Samaria, and creating the human race, not creating us, but altering the DNA of the existing primitive beings and resulting
yep.
in the present form of humankind.
I'm real familiar with that story, and I think you know that the more you look at it from, and I've looked at it from enough different angles now, that it makes more sense than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and I agree. I agree with that. But where I kind of diverted from Sitchin was in two areas. One was his insistence that these beings, the Anunnaki, as they are called, traveled in rocket ships, when the record, the pictorial record, kept showing these beings coming and going from the stars through gateways. Gilgamesh
yeah.
is in a gate. The king Anu is in a gate. They're constantly talking about the gates of the gods. In fact, the place, the planet of their origin, the Nibiru. When you look up that term in the Chicago Assyrian Dictionary, the leading authority on the ancient Sumerian cuneiform language, it says the Nibiru is a star, a gate, and a crossing place. And it suggested to me that it's just simply a star gate. They came from the Nibiru. They came from the star gate. And
yeah.
whether or not that's an actual planet or not, I can't say for sure. So that was one area where I kind of moved away from Sitchin. And then the other was that his insistence on interpreting the ancient stories to say that we were created as a slave race.
Yeah.
The being that he notes and the Sumerian record says was responsible for this genetic alteration was also an alchemist. And so Sitchin is saying the story says that they came here to, the Anunnaki came here to mine gold, and they created a slave race in order to mine that gold.
Well, alchemy, the real key meaning of alchemy is transmuting the base elements of consciousness into the higher elements.
That's right. And in alchemy, gold and the human soul are interchangeable.
It's the metaphor. The higher elements of consciousness.
It's a metaphor.
Yeah.
Right. So what if this being, whose name was Enki, came here and modified the human body not to mine gold, but rather to facilitate the ascension of souls?
That makes sense. In other words, he tweaking the DNA to be more in harmonic, resonance with the frequencies of, higher consciousness, holy compassion.
Exactly, exactly.
And then it's like the strands of DNA, the more strands of DNA are
right.
Activated.
So why do you do that? You do that, you want to amp up this race so they can come and go through the stargates. Because
that
if they walk
sense.
Through... at a lower consciousness, it's going to be like walking into a blender. They're going to get their feathers ruffled.
I love
so
that. Pardon?
And so let's amp them up. Let's raise their consciousness, amp their DNA so that they can become more like the gods, able to come and go through the stars, stargates. That's the definition to me of a god.
Yeah. Okay. The tweaking of the energetics of the DNA and the consciousness. There's a lot of people saying what's happening now with these energies coming in is our DNA is being transformed. There's more strands, there's these indigo children coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And that this is a natural function of the role of DNA as a transceiver, as a not just
right.
Energetically, not just coordinating the hierarchy of cells in the body, but actually the energetics on a cosmic level, there's what they used to call junk DNA. They're finding out now has a communications function, and that it's like a harmonic tuning that's going on, and as a natural adaption that's going on, with more with some than others, and with new souls coming in, I really believe that what goes on in the womb is like the ancient Chinese talked about, that the 12 lower vertebrae in the woman's back are like step-down transformers for the 12 constellations, and it creates a bioenergetic womb. So as the cell goes cytosis from 1 to 2 to 4 to 16, and that whole process in 9 months, which is like virtually the history of evolution from a single cell, to a
right.
to a human being in 9 months, that it has the coordinates, the bioenergetic coordinates of the universe within it, and that programs the DNA, so that there is the evolution then with the birth and the rebirth of generations that are in tune with cosmos and the DNA, and that this DNA is being qualified by this energy coming in. And that's why there's so many more children being born, and I personally believe that's why a lot of them are being whacked with vaccines and chemicals to keep the masses from waking up, but that's another story.
And just to interject here, when you go back to the Maya story about the god nine winds, or potentially the group of gods nine winds, let's say it's a soul group, maybe that's who those kids are. They are the fulfillment of that prophecy, and they are the ones who will be able to open these gates to the stars.
Well, my understanding of cosmogenesis and soul evolution is that different wavelengths of souls come in from all over the system of worlds for this earth experience.
Mm-hmm.
Bands of angels, seraphim, fiery salamanders, sylphs, gnomes, undines, or from the evolved from the elemental kingdom. And for the Elohimic kingdom, the angelic kingdom, the human kingdom. There's these beings just from all over that they're blessed to get in at this time, which is an amazing time right now. that this is as good as it gets as far as the big drama of accelerated change into this what they call zero point on the 2012 timeline.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like the fact that there's like it's a tuning fork. There's a harmonic resonance that's going on in the DNA, and it's happening from the inside out. I call it sometimes on the inner, I call it ascension light, L-I-T-E, or ascension light, L-I-G-H-T, that kind of harmonizes this revolution, emphasizing 90% of the word evolution from the inside out. And that inner to the outer is what, you know, it's like a clockwise spin on things for a golden age. That's the clockwise spin. And on the outer, you've got this paradigm paralysis that perpetuates pathetic perceptions, which is like a counterclockwise spin on things. You know, the bizarro world that we see today on the outer, and there's this tension, you know, between the inner and the outer, and this global power shift that's going on right now because things are changing fast, and, you know, and I'm really interested in how the Stargate phenomena is going to basically be stepped down into a practical application for, you know, basically involving and evolving the collective consciousness. I mean, I like to think of the Stargate personally as an interactive interface for mass-to-mass communication, how a thousand, a million people can interact at the same time through a frame of reference, a Stargate, you might call it, that frames the laws and language of consciousness itself so that it involves and evolves our individual and collective consciousness of how we are conscious, which is, you know, like basically the zero point phenomenon.
Yeah. Well, I have high hopes in that regard. There are two master communicators that are working on that very question right there about how to dumb down the Stargate for the masses and make it practical.
Yeah.
And one is Steven Spielberg.
Really?
And the other is Christopher Nolan. Christopher Nolan wrote the incredible movie The Prestige, which starred Hugh Jackman, which is an amazing story about some magicians. But Steven Spielberg is right now working on a film called Interstellar, which is about wormholes and is timed for release in 2012.
Really?
And I'm looking at that going, okay, there's a major incoming message here. Spielberg's going to take this and find a way to flip human consciousness into this concept in a really big way. And if anybody can do it, Spielberg can do it.
Well, Spielberg, he can put sizzle on the, like no one else can. I mean, you know.
Right.
And I think that's, it's going to be huge for awakening. You know,
absolutely.
It really does focus on a step down version of, I mean, there's the high end, Tower of Babel, you know, technological version, but I think, you know, there's high tech and there's high touch, or, you know, there's personalized, individualized, customized. I think each individual has like a soul contract and they've got a Stargate. You know what I mean?
Right, and it's called your body.
Yeah, and it's unique to each individual. There are, everyone's got unique coordinates, you know, to how to set the Stargate, you know, basically.
Yeah.
And you got to get the coordinates right, or you get lost in space.
Yeah. Well, let me mention something that I'm really excited about that I'm working on right now, which is the dome of the U.S. Capitol.
Uh huh.
Which is, the U.S. Capitol is actually a temple. Even in the words of Thomas Jefferson, he described it as a temple. And throughout its 200-plus year history, it has repeatedly been described as a temple.
Who is the architect that designed it?
Well, you had Latrobe is the primary one. But you've had various individuals working over the past couple of centuries as the thing has evolved.
Uh-huh.
But inside the dome of the U.S. Capitol is a painting called The Apotheosis of George Washington. And this painting was by an Italian painter, actually a Vatican painter named Constantino Brumidi. And what this painting shows is George Washington in a heavenly scene sitting on a rainbow surrounded by 13 star beings.
Really?
Now, the word apotheosis means to deify. to raise from a man into a God man. So what this painting shows is the father of our country as a God man sitting on the Rainbow Bridge. The only other beings that are shown in this precise way are exactly the same way are the Last Judgment images of Jesus, in which he is shown enthroned sitting in front of a sun gate like Washington.
Hello.
And on a rainbow.
Hello.
And,
yeah.
Hi.
Yeah.
I'm a new caller, and I had some questions regarding your show today.
Okay. Can you hold on just a second while we finish this metaphor with George Washington?
Okay. I just wanted to...
Okay. Hold on just a second. Let's finish up with that. I'm really fascinated with that.
Okay. So the only other beings that are shown sitting on a rainbow in this way are is Jesus in the Last Judgment scenes and the Tibetan lamas who have achieved what they call the rainbow body or the light body.
Interesting.
Now when these lamas achieve the light body, the rainbow body, they have accelerated the energy of their body, spun it into a vortex, and it's portrayed as five-colored rainbow light. And they're literally shown either on a rainbow or in a rainbow. And what we're told is that they are traveling the stars as these celestial beings now, as these star beings.
In other words, here
was the point I wanted to make about this, is that the Tibetans teach that this rainbow body teaching is taught in 13 solar systems in addition to our own star system.
Really?
It's taught in 13 star systems in addition to our own. When you see George Washington sitting on that rainbow, he is surrounded by 13 maidens, each with a star on her head. And now we're told that those represent the 13 colonies. But what if they represent the other 13 star systems in which this ascension teaching is taught? And what if, in fact, it's showing Washington as representative of one of these beings who has achieved this, and that Earth is, in fact, part of a star system that includes 13 other colonies?
Well, that makes sense, because the language of light, you know, in full spectrum conscience is a metaphor for God consciousness. So
mm-hmm.
The God particle is a function of full spectrum of all the particles of consciousness. And, I mean, I really like that analogy. And let's take this caller.
Okay.
Hello? Are you there? You still there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Good, and yourself?
I'm doing wonderful. I was, you know, just surfing on the net, and I ran into the show, and I couldn't help but... chime in to the wonderful conversation that was going on.
Yeah, do you have a question?
Yeah, all the stuff you guys are talking about is relating to the cause of the Earth being the living library and the Galactic Federation. And I was wondering if you guys knew anything about that.
Well, I think we were just talking about the metaphorically, the Galactic Federation of Sovereign Systems of Worlds that have this same metaphor of light, full-spectrum light as consciousness?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a federation of planets that are more evolved than Earth that are actually here helping us now, but they're on the sidelines because they can't mess with our free will.
Yeah, the Prime Directive kind of, we want to think we're doing it ourselves.
right. But they're doing behind the scenes with the energy and sending it to us.
Yeah.
They're doing it directly.
Well, I think Ascended Masters have been doing that for millennia.
And slowly it's been working right now, and we're about to reach the climax. But it also there's also a material out there that says that Earth is a living library, which is basically Earth is a soup of DNA of galactic beings.
I believe that, and that's why you get all these spirit forms coming in, you know, having an earthly experience and forgetting where they came from.
Yeah, well, the veil is thick.
Yeah, I mean, this is, like I say, coming through the veil is a, it's like coming through the Stargate with the blinders on.
But, you know, it's slowly disappearing right now. Everybody's starting to remember and wake up with their sleepy
eyes. Well, that's
eyes.
It. I really believe that's happening. And, matter of fact, I think, you know, you're just seeing so many people going through all kinds of things with everything from losing time to gifts of the Holy Spirit to waking up to their worst fears as well as their highest, you know, it's like the twilight zone, you know,
or like,
or between the zero point.
The bliss.
Yeah.
Like sudden states of bliss and meditation or just random. I mean, I've walked down the hallway and seen, you know, people, beings walking around me, my guides walking, you know.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people, the
veil's thinning.
And so things are starting to happen slowly where we're going to get to the point where we're just going to take that quantum leap and there's going to be two worlds splitting apart where the people that are going to stay in the lower energies that can't handle the higher energies and the people that want to ascend into the higher realm. And that's what 2012 is about. Is about ascending to the higher realms. Those who are ready to raise their vibration enough to change their frequency and move higher. But we will be assisted before that time comes. Have you guys heard of something called first contact?
Well, you know what? We're going to have to wrap it up here in just a couple minutes, and I'm going to finish up with Henry. But I want to thank you for calling.
Okay, thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Yes, William. I wanted to, in that regard, you know, as far as how things are accelerating and changing. I know that there is a rapid acceleration and awakening right now, and I really believe that, you know, that that this is going to get really interesting and, you know, really fast. And I like to believe that there is going to be a harmonizing of the Earth grids as a function of consciousness, because I really believe everyone's got a stargate of sorts, subconsciously, and it's like the way they deal with that from their own conscious, that there's an awakening to that process. And that as that happens, I would like to think, you know, that there will be a harmonizing and a healing with the more light as conscience, you know, accelerating into the morphogenic grids of the planet in harmonic resonance with 2012 zero point, you know, spherical consciousness, you know, that somehow raises the shields of the planet. Can you give a final word on what you know of Planet X and what that means?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, when you look up the Nibiru, which is the name for Planet X,
uh-huh.
It is referred to in the Chicago Assyrian Dictionary as a star, a gate, and a crossing point. And so I stick with that and say I think that Planet X, there could be a planet of origin of these Anunnaki, but their method of travel is through the Stargate, and that's what we want to put our emphasis on in terms of understanding.
And this alignment and these wormholes are opening, the Stargates are opening, so the energetic, basically, channeling or opening of those gates is in process.
That is happening presently, that's right.
So there's an otherworldly, you might say, connection that is happening. Well, that's a wrap. William, I want to thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to this presentation on Cosmic Love. I hope you have enjoyed receiving this as much as I've enjoyed giving it. There's a new relationship with all humanity that is maturing with the new synchronicity of instant, everywhere, interactive, net reality. Cosmic Love is the heart of this synchronicity. Tools and processes that empower the wisdom of cosmic love is the purpose of the Worldwide Love Foundation. The family of man is now making a quantum leap into a new consciousness as never before in history. Our awareness as humankind is expanding, and the internet reflects that multidimensional expansion of consciousness into new realms of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence in the power of cosmic love. This has huge implications. The more information we have, the greater the need to get it all in order. The more knowledge power we have, the greater the need for the wisdom of cosmic love. That should be common sense, and it's time to make common sense more common. If you agree that the American Revolution was huge for freedom and opportunity in the world, look what's happening to the whole world now. A new connection with cosmic love is positioning the golden rule, law, language for a golden age in our spirit, our minds, our hearts, and the soul of humanity. We're on the threshold of a global revolution that is awakening the angels of our better nature. Let's be honest and reason together. Cosmic love has always been the golden rule, law, language for every golden age in cosmic history. Some things don't change. Only the ability of the human mind to grasp the full implications of the world in which we now live. That has changed with the internet, and like an adolescent who is not an adult yet, but not a child either, the internet is now installed, operational, and ready to take our personal and planetary consciousness to the next level. That would be cosmic love, and the foundation principles for this is the love model, a universal law language interface for net reality, that represents the five-dimensional intelligence that can fulfill a global revolution in higher consciousness. Check it out for yourself. See how it works. Consider the role you can play and how you can benefit. The sooner you get the vision of this cosmic love thing, the sooner you can profit from a wholly new economy that will transform all our social networks with extraordinary abundance of everything held sacred by free people worldwide. There is a new intelligence that is defining and refining humanity's evolutionary ascent. The higher the intelligence of universal cosmic love, the greater the results. The gateway to higher consciousness is, in fact, the language of consciousness. The five-dimensional intelligence that cosmic love frames in form and frequency, as in frequently. Once you get it, how the Holy Spirit of love and action can heal our individual and collective conscience. It will become self-evident how cosmic love can nurture and culture the net reality that brings a Holy Spirit to the collective consciousness of humanity. Love heals all, always has, always will. The more cosmic and universal the vision of love, the greater the results. Welcome to the opportunity. It's time to link the light workers who are love makers. The internet now provides this opportunity for extraordinary synchronicity as will empower wisdom with cosmic love. Someone had to do it. Now you can. Network for the net worth of this new net reality. You have the vision now before you. What you do with it can change your world and the world at large. We are all co-creators in the cosmic scheme of cosmic love. The great spirit of great love is the great opportunity that genuine freedom gives all of us. Heaven knows that there is nothing more valuable than the vision of cosmic love that has found its time. Experience the Worldwide Love Foundation in your consciousness, being, and world. Care enough to share this vision of great opportunity. Step into the circle of global connection as you center and connect with the five-dimensional intelligence of cosmic love that provides the cultural DNA for a golden age on Earth. Miracles happen when cosmic love is conceived, believed, and achieved. You are that miracle when you become the cosmic love you want to see in the world. Own this vision as your own. Embrace the intrinsic virtue of cosmic love. Make the vow to do what you can because you can. Claim the victory for all mankind aspiring to live as kind men. Here's to winning from the beginning of a global revolution that will finish worldwide with the great experiment and representative government gave humanity with the American Revolution. Heaven on earth is virtually in your hands. Do you want the keys to the kingdom? Are you ready to assemble the components to the capstone of cosmic love vision? Discover the five-dimensional intelligence that will empower your own virtually untapped gifts and talents. Consider how you can make a difference, if not the difference. It's your life, your world. Take command. Give cosmic love the chance that you want for all mankind. Now you can. See for yourself. Do it for cosmic love, and heaven knows cosmic love will bless your life far beyond this one. Sooner or later, what goes around comes around. You can call that good karma, or the justice of cosmic law, or just the blessings of cosmic love. It's the same thing. The abundant life is born in abundant love. The more cosmic that love, the more abundant is your life. Personally, I can't think of anything better to do, and I hope you feel the same way. So keep in touch with cosmic love. It only gets better as you pay attention. This is how cosmic love works. Pay attention because attention pays in ways that make cosmic love the new currency for global peace and prosperity. Your attention is your consciousness. The next economy for planetary civilization will pay attention to the value of virtue, the virtue of cosmic love. The family of man and our global village must be connected to this one virtue. We must pay attention to the first principles of higher consciousness if we are to transcend the old paradigms of scarcity consciousness that scarcity economics has created. This is the whole point of cosmic love. We won't heal our personal and planetary problems with the same consciousness that created the problems. The best hope for humanity is the charity of goodwill among mankind. This is the charity of cosmic love in action. This is the Holy Spirit of cosmic love in man that raises mankind with loving kindness. I hope you appreciate this message and share it with others. That may be just your circle of influence with family and friends, or it may be every news group or blog on the internet where lightworkers and enlightened netizens, global citizens, hang out. By the grace of cosmic love, enough good people will do enough soon enough to quickly turn the tide of global consciousness from the paradigm of scarcity to the paradigm of abundance that cosmic love cultures. May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.